Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Is This a Ghost? I'm Clayton Smith, and every week I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend, Patrick Dean, who does not take it real seriously.
But who does bound and there flit.
I wonder if that's going to make it into the cut. Otherwise, people are going to be so confused. Also, again,
it won't be last
established
time. It won't be last
more
time.
Flit than bound. Patrick, how is your where have you been flitting off to these days?
Oh man, I've been flitting all over the place. I've been just
flitting all flit wise.
Yeah. Where have we been going? We did Thanksgiving here in the US. We did Thanksgiving.
That's true. How was yours?
It was good. I ate a bunch of food. We had to cook a bunch of food. Amy and I cooked a bunch of food. And then we ate a bunch of food. And then we went somewhere else, made more food there. And then it snowed like half a foot. And so the kids kind
of... I saw you got a lot of snow.
Yeah. Then the kids rolled around like a goose to scloop in the snow for a little while with their little distended bellies. And that brings you up to today.
First, I thought you said like a goose to sloop.
A goose to scloop.
Like, and I was thinking, like, what's a goose to sloop? What does a sloop mean? And how does that refer to a goose? But I'm on board now.
Okay. One beer ago, there were fewer S's in that word. One beer ago, but
I got your Christmas card in the mail, your family's Christmas card, which I quite enjoyed.
Interesting. Amy asked if she should send you one, and I didn't give her a good answer, so I guess she did.
Huh. That's brave of her. Brave choice. Aaron asked if I wanted to hold on to it to reference it during the podcast. And I said, I don't think we should call some specifics out. I don't think Amy's going to like that. So we did throw it away, but I did, while it was in my hot little hands, I did like it.
Wonderful. Did you win the matching game?
Well, it's hard because there was no answer key.
Right. Yeah. So that's the thing. Next year, we'll send you the answer key upside down with next year's letter. Then you can go back and check it.
Aaron, grab that letter out of the trash. Thank you. I'm pretty sure I got it right.
Okay.
Now, how old is Amy really? I got a lot of mixed messages.
I'm not allowed to say. So
okay. So it's the older one?
Yeah.
She doesn't listen to the show, right? We've established that. Yeah. That's canon. I'm glad you had a good Thanksgiving. We had a good one. We had a Friendsgiving here in Virginia. It was very nice.
Very college-y. Very college-y.
It was
Friendsgiving.
Well, I work at a college.
Well, there you go. You fit in.
Most people there also were working at a college. Yep.
Did you invite college students over to your Friendsgiving? Is that how it
works? They were the entertainment.
Ah, lovely.
Each of them got a meat tenderizer, and we said, all right, last one standing, you get an A. And that took up, surprisingly, 90 minutes.
We're going to play a game called Setting the Curve.
It was a lot of fun, and they did a great job. And I will miss most of them dearly. But it was good. What else? What else is going on?
You have apparently beaten all of the decks on Balatro.
Well, so. I was going to save this for our side podcast about Balatro. But I've beaten all the decks that you need to beat in order to achieve a special deck.
Right. Okay. Good. Yeah.
And I beat red stakes. I've not yet beaten green stakes. That's tough.
What is green stakes?
Green stakes means the ante goes up much higher, much more quickly.
Oh, I don't want to do that. No, I don't.
Nope. It's not fun. It's not fun.
Not interested.
But, no, got to do it though. Mm-hmm. Got to do it. So that's a cross that I'm bearing right now. Much like Jesus, whose birth we will soon be celebrating. This is my cross to bear. Thank you for asking. How's your Balatro playing going?
I'm in about the same spot as you. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to do the dig deep to get into Reddit, to go through Reddit to find the best strats.
There's some good walkthroughs.
There really are.
Yep. In related news, I have been let go from my job, but I think it's going to be worth it.
In Balatro terms, couldn't have been better news, really.
Because
the money is spent.
Balatro score has skyrocketed. Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's an investment that we don't have to, that's not on the books anymore. Yeah. That's gone.
Mm-hmm.
That depreciated a long time ago. So I think we're all set here at the Smith House, Balatro-wise. Mm-hmm. Not anything else-wise,
right, yeah.
But Balatro-wise, we're in a good place. I have a couple announcements before we get to our episode.
Okay.
What are they?
Announcements to me or to other people?
Kind of, probably both, to be honest. I've sent you the emails, but I don't think you checked the company email.
Yeah, and I have the group text on mute because there was just a lot of stuff coming through. And I was,
it's just me.
Yeah.
it's hurtful to hear. You may or may not know, everybody, and by that I mean Patrick, that we're doing a special live New Year's Eve show this year.
Oh!
Where it's, surprise. I checked with Amy. Your calendar is clear.
Oh, thank goodness.
So we will be doing our normal live Zoom recording on Monday, December 30th. But if you're a Ghost Plus member, you can join us on that Zoom and you can sit in and chat with all your other Ghost Plus friends while we do our dumb thing. and then we do a big group chat at the end. It's really fun. We've done it a few times. And this one is going to be a New Year's Eve themed story.
Mm.
You don't want to hear it a week later because then it's not going to mean anything to you.
Yeah.
You want to hear it the day before New Year's Eve. That's going to really pack the punch. So join Ghost Plus. Oh, and another, if you're looking for another reason to join Ghost Plus, aside from the special New Year's Eve show, and aside from the fact that you can do a 7-day free trial just to see if you like it, our unpaid interns messaged me the other day, and they are secretly working on an intern-only episode to be released to Ghost Plus.
Oh, I'm very excited about this.
I know zero other details about this episode, and Jen has access to the platform we use to publish this, so I think it's not impossible. They might just do it all and then publish it, and then one day you and I will wake up, and there will be a surprise episode that I have no idea what it's going to be.
Oh, but, interesting.
Yeah. You feel good about that?
I feel great about it, because it's going to replace our episode for the week, right?
Oh, that's a great idea.
See? You see?
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see how good it is. Yeah. It's not impossible. And this is what we'll do. If it replaces our episode for the next week, so we don't have to record, then I'll email the interns and I'll be like, hey, everybody, great news. You're going primetime. Mm-hmm. And to them, it'll be like a promotion.
Exactly. You guys are going to the show. Like a gift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Boy, good luck, everybody. We're sitting this one out. You've got control. Mm-hmm. And then you and I go to Aruba.
Mm-hmm. Just keep cashing checks till about August, and when they figure out what's going on.
We're already knee-deep in Bellatro.
Mm-hmm.
It comes full circle, and it all works out. So go check out Ghost Plus. It's going to be really fun. Got some other fun stuff coming up in the new year, so go check it out. And I should also let you know that we are sponsored this week by Smart Labels.
Really?
We are. It's the Christmas gift to us that keeps on giving is their tolerance.
As inexplicable as a red-suited man falling down your chimney. They're back, baby!
They are. And it is the most wonderful time of the year, specifically for Smart Labels, because I thought we started off this Christmas season with too many decorations. Mm-hmm. It's a ski slope that goes up. From here on, we've just bought every day is a new opportunity for my children to beg very sweetly for something new they don't have yet that they will instantly become uninterested in. And so when this Christmas season is over, I fear our apartment will have transformed into a new sort of land, much like Christmas Town from Nightmare Before Christmas.
So it sounds to me like for any parents out there shopping for Smart Labels, do not tell your children that you are buying Smart Labels because they are going to use that as a crutch. They're going to say, oh, you know, we should probably get this random pile of crap here because we can just put a Smart Label on it. We'll always know where it is. It's not like it's junk anymore.
Yeah. Now, I would definitely not explain to them how Smart Labels work.
Right.
That is for sure. And
because I'm not entirely sure how they work either.
Well, then you're going to want to not listen to this when I tell you that Smart Labels are QR-coded, color-coded stickers that you can buy on Amazon, or you can buy, of course, at the Smart Labels website. They come to your door, and you take them, you peel them off, and you stick them on a box that you want to be able to find next year. You scan them with the Smart Labels app, and then the screen comes up, and you say, okay, in this label, this box that has this label, these are our ornaments, these are our stockings, this is our fake Christmas tree. And you type that all in there and you take a picture of it. You can put the box in your attic. You take a picture of the box in the attic spot where it is. When you need to find it next year, you just open the app, you type in tree or ornaments or stocking, and it'll show you the exact entry that you just put in. It'll show you pictures of where your box is. You'll know exactly where to go when your kids say, "We have to let Mrs. Blitzen out of the box because she's dying in there." You will know exactly where to go to find Mrs. Blitzen, which is what my children have named our Rudolph blow up that sits outside our place now. Well, I should, to be fair, Maple has named her Mrs. Blitzen. Ivy has named her Pinkie Pie the baby.
Oh, okay. I mean, so, it's a little bit of kind of a Chinatown feel there.
A little bit. Aaron tried to make peace by suggesting that perhaps her full Christian name was Mrs. Pinkie Pie the Baby Blitzen, and that did not go over well.
No compromising there. No compromising there.
So we're going to have two of them soon, I am sure. And when we do, we will be able to keep both of them straight. And we'll say, this one is Mrs. Pinkie Pie the Baby, and this one is Mrs. Blitzen. We'll be able to do that with the help of smart labels. So, God, can't wait for that conversation to be something that becomes very important very soon in my life. But the point here is that smart labels are great. And I love being a dad, and smart labels are helping make that smoother. Patrick, any final thoughts this week for smart labels? All right, go to Amazon and you can just search smart labels, one word. They are beautifully color coded. You'll like it. They're wonderful. Please go support them as they support us for, I guess, reasons. I don't know. They hear these ads every week. I don't know what's happening. Patrick, are you ready to hear? Are you listening to music? What's going on?
Yeah.
Am I bothering you? Yeah. Do you want to do this another time?
No, I'm good now. I just had to.
Okay.
It was
my turn. Playing Balatro? Are you playing Balatro during our ad read?
Is that why you didn't know what to say? Ad read was over.
It was over and for then 4 seconds.
That was enough time. And then.
Working right now.
Trying to pull off some special moves with Checker Deck. To unlock some Checker Jokers.
Deck is a good deck.
It's an investment, really, is what it is. It's an investment. Yeah. So
it's hard to say no to Checker Deck. Mm. The flush scene on Checker Deck. Chef Kiss. Anyway, do you want to hear a ghost story?
I'd love to. Ding. Ding. Classic.
Ding.
Dong.
I still have not labeled the buttons. I don't know. It's real Russian roulette every time I push a button. All right. Well, I want to start off by saying this is not a content warning.
Okay.
It's not. It doesn't reach that level exactly. But listeners, if you're listening to this, which you obviously are because you're hearing it right now, then you have probably seen the title of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
So I will just note that the title is pretty. It's what you think. It's what you think.
Ooh. Pins and needles.
So if that's the sort of thing that gives you the ick, still listen because we need the numbers, but just like let it play.
Turn the volume way down. They still count if the volume's all the way down. They do.
Yeah. Just let it run. That's all we care about is the time.
So I will once again note, I'm the only person on earth who is listening to this that does not know the title of the episode.
Are you titillated?
A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of cold down here.
Yeah, I see that shirt is not leaving much to the imagination.
And this is two shirts, and still.
This
is two shirts.
Boy, you are really excited.
Yeah, one of them is gauze, podcast. But that's fine.
That's how I bindle. I bindle myself. Anyway, I was listening to the episode that'll drop this Wednesday, today, just doing the final listen. And it's great. And one of the things I recalled listening to it was that in that episode, I promised to do a Christmas themed ghost this week.
Oh, that's right. I don't remember.
It was part of the Smart Labels ad. I will say I also didn't remember. I actually kind of did the opposite. So in some important ways. So let's just get into it.
Mm-hmm. Let's ignore commitments. Mm-hmm. Just move on.
Yeah. Why try something new now? On March 11th, 1918, a soldier at Fort Riley in Kansas comes down with influenza.
Oh, okay.
Now, the fort is overcrowded and not particularly sanitary.
Mm-hmm, right.
It's 1918, after all.
Sure.
Within 1 week, 522 men had been admitted to the camp hospital.
Oh, what year is this again?
Oh, good question. 1918.
1918. Okay, so big flu. 1918. Well, you've
heard of this.
I've heard, they mentioned it. They mentioned it in the history books.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. In fact, they mentioned it a lot about 4 years ago. They talked about it a whole bunch.
Really? That's interesting.
Isn't it strange?
Let's see if there are any parallels. Speaking of the flu, by the way, one of our friends has a daughter who has been really sick lately. And so we were talking today and I said, well, how's she doing? And she said, it's not funny, obviously, but I'm going to laugh because it's kind of funny. She said, well, she's not, she's got 104 degree fever, which is
bad. Right.
That's a bad fever. But they went to the doctor today and the doctor told them, like, it's probably not the flu because there has not been a single recorded flu case in Virginia yet this year.
Oh.
Or, like, this season.
Right. Okay.
And they're like, oh, well, I guess that's good, but, like, then, oh, God, what else could it be? Mm-hmm. So they're doing tests, and they find out that this child does indeed have the flu.
Oh, hey! So,
this child is patient zero for the flu in Virginia this year. And doesn't just... They tested the types of flu to figure out, you know, both A and B.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
So what an honor
for any Virginia listeners, if you get the flu this winter, you know which vampire to drive the stake through.
I did say, so she's patient zero and you know what happens to them. And, I don't think that was well received.
Well, probably haven't been sleeping a lot.
she'll get it in the morning and, it'll be pretty funny then. Anyway, so yeah, so within 1 week, 522 men are admitted to the hospital, all from the flu. It's not long before the Army starts reporting similar outbreaks in Virginia, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, Alabama, and California.
Ooh.
Not states that are all connected.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Obviously. There's, I mean, between some of them, there's like a mountain.
Yeah. Big old mountain. Mm-hmm. Naval ships starts reporting severe cases of influenza among the crews, and it's pretty bad. But this particular flu did seem to target military personnel at this time only.
Oh, it was a woke mind virus. I get it.
And this is the story of the woke mind virus ghost. It was the woke mind virus, and like the woke mind virus, it did not impact civilians. So people were just like, "Meh, it sounds bad, but like, I'm okay." There were other more important things to deal with at this time, like prohibition, for example. Mm-hmm. There was also the suffragette movement, and World War I was raging.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I don't know which one of those is more important. You can decide for yourself. Yeah. Obviously, it's prohibition.
So give those fighting boys something to come home to.
Not women who vote. No,
absolutely not.
Oh no, we got to stop. We got to squash that. So people are like, we can't focus on this right now. I'm so sorry, but this is for you people. Mm-hmm. And actually, 2 months later, the flu starts to subside in the U.S.
Okay.
Now, I probably don't need to remind you, Patrick, but I'll remind our listeners in case they don't know. The first flu vaccine wasn't developed until, like, the 40s is when they really worked on that in earnest. So I we're going to gloss over a lot here, but a lot of people died from this flu during this 2 months. But now fewer people are dying, at least in the U.S., and that's pretty good. Americans are feeling pretty good.
Right, because there's fewer people now.
Yeah,
because of all the dead land, ones.
Right. You can stretch out. Absolutely.
This couch is not feeling so crowded anymore. Mm-hmm. I am liking this.
My property is now 4 acres bigger. Mm-hmm. I kind of like it.
I don't have to sit next to anyone on the bus.
Mm-hmm. Also, the bus is not moving because the driver has just died. But it's nice and quiet here. Let's see, fewer blah blah blah. Oh yeah, everyone who refused to wear a mask is feeling pretty justified because only like 40% of people who got it died or whatever. Anyway, so things are good now, right? Now, flu's going away. We're in the middle of the war. So the U.S. feels pretty comfortable sending the soldiers of Fort Riley off to battle in France.
Mm. Okay.
The problem with the H1N1 virus, though, is that it's not gone.
Right.
It's just sort of scooching down
sure.
a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Getting all hunkered down and making itself comfortable. And the U.S. puts these soldiers on ships headed to France. And along the way, of course, these boats are cramped. They're stuffy. It's hot. Mm-hmm. Probably a little humid.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's getting a little friendly.
Maybe.
I mean, it's cold. It's cold. Just trying to stay warm.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Make our tongues warm. Come on, man. Come on. You know, your tongue would be warm or not.
You said you had the flu already.
Lick my tongue. Make my tongue warm. So the virus is loving this whole situation. And once they get to France, the flu absolutely explodes over there. Of course, all these armies are there. Mm-hmm. They're fighting the Huns? World War One? Is that what we called them?
The Turks.
Some version of the Germans. The
Ottomans. I don't know. I don't know who they're fighting. Yeah.
They're fighting the big bad. Mm-hmm. And absolutely everybody in Europe gets sick. Everyone has a name for it. The Americans call it the three-day fever or the purple death.
Okay.
So those are two vastly different.
I was going to say, like, one of those is like an emo band and the other one is definitely a speed metal band. So.
For sure.
Like a very bluesy speed metal band. But yes. Yeah. Yeah.
The French called it purulent bronchitis.
Oh, that's a 1,000 times worse. That's
I didn't know what purulent meant. Did you? That your look on your face makes me think maybe you know what it means.
Yeah. It's
should I just read the definition, or do you want to share it?
I want to read your definition of purulent.
It's not my definition. Yeah. The one I found on ChatGPT is consisting of containing or discharging pus.
Mm-hmm. That's a black metal band right there.
That is that's more black metal for sure. We're escalating. The Italians called it sandfly fever, which I got to say feels pretty racist.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know in what direction, but I don't like it.
It's a swing band. Got to be.
Yeah, they're wearing zoot suits up there for sure. The Germans called it Blitzkatar. No, Blitzkatar. You know German. I'll just put this in the chat. You do it. I've had a hot toddy, so.
Blitzkatar.
Yeah, that's what I
said. Blitzkatar. Yeah, you had it. Yeah.
Blitzkatar or Flanders fever.
That's not what
tough hit for Ned and family.
That's not what that translates to at all.
No, I think those were two different names.
Okay.
What is Blitzkatar?
Blitz is fast. I don't know. I don't know what that means. Blitz. Huh. Qatar.
Oh, the German word Blitzkrieg, if this helps, translates to lightning war.
Yeah.
Is that helpful?
Yeah, Qatar translates to inflammation of the mucous membranes in the cavities of the body.
Wow, which that's very specific.
Which seems like it will be a longer word. I don't know.
We have like 9 words for that.
Do you know
as
what
you just demonstrated? Well, you know, they are. Germans are nothing if not very efficient. So it's got their own names for it. But, of course, it doesn't matter what you call it. Mm. It's all the same thing. And what they find is this flu, it starts with a sore throat, chills, and a fever, which is typical for any kind of version of the flu. But then comes this deadly little twist. This particular flu virus attacks the lungs. Here is a quote that I found. Sometimes within hours, patients succumb to complete respiratory failure. Autopsies showed hard red lungs drenched in fluid.
Oh.
A microscopic look at diseased lung tissue revealed that the alveoli, the lungs' normally air-filled cells, were so full of fluid that victims literally drowned.
Mm.
But I've heard that's a very peaceful way to go.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to go.
Uh. Patients would often present with mahogany-colored spots over their cheekbones, which I think had something to do with, I don't know, oxygenation. Or
is that what you have? Or
something? It might be. Should I go to a doctor?
Let him know you have the Blitz guitar, and you don't think it's going to be very long now.
Excuse me. Can I talk to someone with a specialization in Blitz guitar?
Yeah. Can I talk to someone specialized in pre-war diseases? The Great. I'm sorry. The Great War.
Pre the big one.
Yeah.
Pre the big one. Do you have anyone like that here? Let's see. Within hours, those patients would then turn fully bluish black, which is indicative of cyanosis or lack of oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
So soon, field hospitals on the battlefield had to do triage on these patients, and nurses began to look at the feet first for new patients.
Mm.
If your feet were already black, you were considered beyond help, and you were carted off to die.
Feet are black? Send them back.
Ain't coming back.
Mm-mm. Oh. Feet are blue? Right on through.
Feet are pink?
Two in the stink.
No. I'm sorry I didn't come up with something faster, because that's not good for
anyone.
I don't know. Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on. Now, this is all pretty confusing, because even though there's no vaccine yet, like, usually the flu is not life-threatening to, like, healthy, you know, young men.
Right. Yeah. They like love
getting army the flu. Army-age men. Sure. They love the flu. That's part of their training, actually. But this flu is not just life-threatening to the elderly and young children and people with compromised immune systems. This one is attacking healthy, strong adults. So a lot of these World War I soldiers are dying from this flu. But the Allied forces decide not to share that information because they don't want the enemy to know just how bad things are.
Okay.
So they censor this out of the reports.
Okay.
All of them do. Except for a little country called España.
Could not help themselves. Such the gossip.
In Spain, they're like, we're just going to report the news, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can imagine such a thing happening. And so the Spanish newspapers start reporting the deaths of millions of Spaniards due to this strange new flu. Now, this was a mistake.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, this is turning into a bit of a whoever smelt the Delta deal, I'm afraid.
Exactly correct. Because America then did what it does best and decides that this flu must be named after the country who we would like to point fingers at the most. And that it should be called the Spanish flu. When in actuality, it almost certainly originated in America.
Mm-hmm.
Like the army bases were the first recorded instances of this virus attacking people. So we're pretty sure it's the American flu, actually. But we call it the Spanish flu. And as you may be aware now, because this has been in the news a lot, or was about 4 years ago, that's a name that sticks. Which cat is off camera?
I know.
Son of a bitch. Was he attracted to all your nipples?
He can sniff them out. He was upstairs. He was upstairs, yeah. And he came down here to see him.
Oh, they're firm. I'm going to go down. Look at that little baby.
You want me out one time? You want me out one time?
You'll be on a podcast? Hey, pull his tail.
No, I'm not going to pull his tail.
I will. Oh, he'll make us.
Oh,
see? Just the threat. The threat was the thing.
That was a sweet one.
You're welcome. You're welcome, listening audience. I would never pull his tail. I just want to be clear because we do have at least one.
I know, you're like a time zone.
We'll be very mad about that. Yeah. I would never pull the cat's tail. In fact, I spend an inordinate number of hours every day instructing children not to pull my cat's tails. So, just to be clear, everybody. Anyway, so now it's a Spanish flu. So Spain is pissed because now everyone's calling it Spanish flu. So they say, well, actually, just so you all know, world, this is France's fault.
Oh.
So you got to rely on the old scapegoats. They say it's France's fault because our soldiers caught it on their battlefields. because we were fighting in France, that's why this happened. And the look on your face makes me think you're gonna have even more questions about this next line of defense here, which was they also tried to suggest that the flu, the virus had blown over the Pyrenees Mountains from France on the wind and landed in Spain. And that could be why it just happened to be there.
At no point do they argue against the ridiculousness of pinning it on the only country that actually is admitting what's going on. They're like, yeah, that's never going to go anywhere. We got to find a scapegoat. I'm really sorry, guys. And whoever's the next country over.
Just throw a dart at the board. Italy or France? Ah, it's France. That's France. This did not work. Everyone's like, I don't know. We don't like the French either, obviously, but it seems like a real Spain problem, so we're going to keep calling it the Spanish flu.
Also, French flu, it's hard to say. It's harder to
French
say.
French flu. Yeah. French flu.
Exactly.
French flu.
It sounds almost like French fry, and I don't want to get people confused. That's a bit.
No, because one is delicious, exactly. One is bad. One is bad for you, one is delicious and healthy. So the flu, the name sticks, and the flu continues to move very quickly. It spreads as far north as Norway, as far east as China, as far southeast as India, and as far south as New Zealand.
Ooh.
It's really, it's everywhere.
It's everybody, yeah.
It's basically the whole globe. And then sick people get on ships, and they spread it around ports, which means the islands are getting it. So by the summer of 1918, like a few months later, it's already hitting like Puerto Rico, the Caribbean, the Philippines, and Hawaii. A steamship called the Harold Walker was blamed for bringing the virus to Tampico in Mexico. And which meant that from there was a hop, skip, and a jump back up to the U.S. And just 4 months after it first appeared, the Spanish flu had circled the entire globe and returned to the United States.
The reunion tour.
Back, baby! It is the reunion tour. The second and third waves of the Spanish flu hit the U.S. in the winter months and just decimates the population. It got so bad that it completely wiped out some villages in Alaska. Oof. New York buried 33,000 people alone in just a couple weeks. Philadelphia lost 13,000 in just a few weeks. Some cities ran out of coffins and had to start piling bodies into streetcars to keep up.
Whew.
If you can imagine such a thing.
No, thank goodness.
Probably can't. It's
thank goodness we got that all solved. Because
well, and then vaccines came along and it's like, woof, we don't have to worry about this ever again. We are so lucky. Hey, did you know RFK Jr. is going to be in charge of vaccines now?
We're going to have one of these 100-year flus every couple of years now. I'm really excited about that. Every
couple of months, I think. Anyway, in his book, America's Forgotten Pandemic, The Influenza of 1918, Alfred Crosby wrote, quote, "In some cases, the dead were left in their homes for days. Private undertaking houses were overwhelmed, and some were taking advantage of the situation by hiking prices as much as 600%.
Oh, man.
Complaints were made that cemetery officials were charging $15 burial fees and then making the bereaved dig the graves for the dead themselves."
it's like the worst BYOB restaurant you've ever been to.
BYO shovel? Yeah. Oh, man.
Hey, I'm just providing you the land. You have put all the work into it. I'm sorry. I will uncork grandma, and that's all I'm going to do here.
It's a bad time for humanity, but it's a good time for capitalism.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Entrepreneurship is never shown brighter than it is right now. In Chicago, police officers are ordered to arrest anyone who sneezes or coughs in public.
Mm, but that works out really well.
I bet it went great.
Mm-hmm.
Bet it went great. All in all, the virus hits 1/5 of the world's total population. And when it's all said and done, about 50 million people are dead.
Oof.
For some context, in all of World War I, 16 million people died.
So sounds like the flu one.
I think that's what we would say. Yes. you're so high and mighty there. Mm-hmm. I want to say Woodrow Wilson. Yep. Oh, I don't know who. Let's see who is. You say some stuff. I'm gonna look up some stuff. Make some jokes.
Yeah, and who I don't know who the rest of the leaders were. Some sort of, you know, Franz Ferdinand or something like that. Did you get it right, Woodrow Wilson?
I got it right.
Wow,
it's Woodrow Wilson. Oh my God. I am a savant, I think.
I think you're history. Right. Of presidents. Well, you've been studying history for like 150 episodes of this show, so
this is at some point. This is the, by hands down, the best history education I've ever gotten in my life in the American school system is prepping for this comedy podcast. Mm-hmm.
On my phone, 2 hours a week.
and once again, this week, I did take the notes this morning, so I'm pretty pleased with myself. Wow, Woodrow Wilson, who knew? I mean, I did.
I guess. Except for you. Yeah. Yeah.
What fun. Anyway, so lots of people are dead. Now, kids had a lot of fun with this pandemic.
Hmm.
they start a new jump rope chant about the pandemic. It catches fire. It spreads like the virus, yeah. I guess. Yeah. And it goes like this. I had a little bird. And its name was Enza. I opened the window and in flew Enza. So that's fun.
I like this.
It is pretty good. I mean, this is the gallows humor that I would teach my children if they.
Yeah. It's hard to keep the rhythm between all the coughs, but it's, you know, for the most part.
Yeah. When they pass out halfway through, it's like, oh man, I'll never know how it goes.
Maybe that was the game. You have to like sing the whole song without dying. And then, yeah, I won. Who else can do it? Oh, where did everybody go?
Oh, my three friends are dead. I win. Anyway, speaking of children, one of the many towns that got hit was Huntsville, Alabama.
Mm.
Now, the first reported case in Huntsville was on September 25th of 1918. Now, 10 days later, October 5th, it was everywhere. The Birmingham News wrote, quote, reported cases of Spanish influenza have increased to more than 1,100 in Huntsville. There have been an additional 300 cases and 7 deaths in the past 24 hours.
Hmm.
By October 13th, 3 weeks after the first reported case, the paper reported that only one local pharmacist and one local doctor remained uninfected. Every other medical professional is sick or dead, which is not what you want in your medical professionals.
Well, you said pharmacist and doctor were the only two. Yeah. So you got to figure they're both like super sick at this point, except they're both probably on so many amphetamines. Just to continue seeing people.
This is my chance to get out of Huntsville.
At this point, I might just fly out of Huntsville.
And so the cemeteries in Huntsville become pretty popular. Mm. This included, of course, the oldest and largest cemetery in town, which is called the Maple Hill Cemetery. This was founded in 1822 on 2 acres of land, but it has grown steadily over the decades. It now encompasses nearly 100 acres.
I'll say 2 acres is nothing.
No, 100 acres, though, that's a graveyard. And it grows so quickly because people are dying to get in. I'll take that again. You can do a better.
Hit a button. Hit a button. You'll need me. I'm going to mute.
Yeah. Thank you. I think it's good. Actually, good note. Good note for me. Okay. I'm ready. Now it's 100 acres because, you know, people are just dying to get in.
Is the wrong button?
No, it's the right one. I think feels right to me. I don't know. Which one are you? Would you have chosen?
The moaning one. Not even that one.
No. Oh no, not even sad trombone. Oh no.
Yeah, no.
Probably not, right? All right, you're probably going for, let's see. Here's what you're looking for.
Better. It's closer. It's warmer.
I don't know where the moan is. I didn't label that one. Anyway, So it does grow quite a lot. Now it contains over 80,000 bodies. A lot of bodies. There are lots of neat people buried there, including five governors of Alabama.
Oh, wow.
Five U.S. senators.
Hmm.
And quite a few unknown Civil War soldiers, both for the South and the North.
Hmm.
I looked at the names, by the way. There's a list of,
yeah,
of the names.
80,000 names.
No. No, I looked at the list of the governors and senators and like U.S. representatives and stuff.
Yeah.
Not a single notable one on the whole list.
How many were named Bobby something?
We can look. You want to look?
No, it's okay. I don't want to be proof.
That'll
right.
be some bonus yeah. content on Ghost Plus. We'll go through and make fun of all the names. Anyway, so they're all there, and also who's buried in here? A lot of folks who died in the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic. Even though this flu virus did indeed hit adults hard. That doesn't mean it didn't hit children hard. In Huntsville, almost all the children who died of Spanish flu were buried in Maple Hill. There's a lot mm-hmm. of little kid graves there, mm-hmm. Several hundred. Now, there's a... You have something to say?
No, just awful. Just horrible.
Yeah. Now, I will say this. Their parents mm-hmm. have never experienced so much quiet.
Unless they're also buried in the graveyard, at which point they're like, oh, you gotta be fucking kidding me.
Oh, man. Well, you know what? I'm not going to say anything else on this line of jokes because Aaron does listen to this podcast.
But she's not a Ghost Plus subscriber. So maybe we'll hop over to the other.
Okay. Can we ship? No, actually she is. Shoot. I gave her a free one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Remind me. Do me.
Yeah.
Hey, Siri, remind me to revoke Aaron's privileges to Ghost Plus tomorrow. All right, we got a plan. All right. So, dead children, am I right? Hilarious. No?
I'm going to let you go on that one.
Okay, great. This has been really fun. So, let's see. Where are we here? Oh, okay. So, kids are buried there, obviously. Now, there's a corner of the cemetery... now that didn't used to be part of the cemetery mm-hmm. during 1918. It was not part of it. But it has since, the cemetery has since expanded to include this corner. Now this is a small plot of land that is bordered on three sides by sheer limestone cliffs.
Okay.
And what you want normally in like a cool plot of land is like no daylight. It's like
right, yeah.
cliffs on three of four sides. Mm. It used to be part of a small quarry. In the 1940s in Huntsville, there was a local scare when children began to go missing. Now, the police believe they were dealing with a serial killer who was targeting children because none of the children who disappeared ever came back. But they couldn't prove it. No arrests were ever made. They had very few leads. But the investigation did turn up, at one point, a child's skull in this quarry near the graveyard.
Ugh.
So they decided they should probably dig down a bit further, and they did, and they found more skeletal remains of children, and also a few fresher bodies of children. So this is confirming their beliefs. They think that there is a serial killer targeting children, but it stops abruptly,
mm-hmm.
and they never even have a suspect. So that happens there, probably. Over time, like I said, the cemetery expanded to include this little plot of land. So now the cemetery that contains, just as a reminder, hundreds of children who died from the Spanish flu and also contains a mass murder site of children. That's all part of the cemetery now.
Mm-hmm.
And to honor all that, someone decided it would be a pretty good idea to put a playground in there. Here's a photo.
I don't know. Oh.
There you go.
I mean, it's pretty run-of-the-mill, but it's like, from what I can see, like, I see the three rocky cliffs,
uh-huh.
like, right around the playground. So the playground is literally on top of the mass grave site?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Just, and also in the graveyard.
Right. Okay. And
it's a twofer.
Did they move the bodies, or did they just put the wood chips right on top?
I assume that the bodies they excavated probably were removed.
Okay, right.
I don't know. I don't know if they like got all the bodies.
That's my question. Yeah, like you can never really be sure. So,
yeah. Well, okay. Let's see if our story has any hints that might lead us in one direction or the other. So this playground is officially called Maple Hill Park,
mm-hmm.
but the locals know it by another name. The Dead Children's Playground.
Oh.
Which is the title of this episode.
Oh, that makes sense about the content warning. All right. Well, I finally get to learn what everybody else already knew.
That's right. The ghosts of the Maple Hill children haunt the playground, unsurprisingly. Sometimes the swings on the swing set will start going at full speed all by themselves.
Oh.
And then patches of dirt will kick up. Or sand, I guess. Probably looks like sand. As if someone has just jumped from the swing.
Oh, wow. So these kids are unsafe even in death.
Well, I mean, what do you got to lose now?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
What happens to a little ghost if it breaks its arm? Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be like that forever, I think. So
forever? Do you think a doctor ghost could set a broken arm for a ghost?
Oof. I bet there's a whole like ghost economy in these graveyards. Like a whole ghost culture.
It's got to be, yeah. Right? Or else, so. Like, how do you have, like, kids happy enough to just be, like, playing on swings?
Yeah. Maybe it's like a Groundhog Day thing. Like, they break their arm, and then, like, the next day it resets, and they're right back to their old
self. Oh, it could be that. That's nice. That's kind of a nice thought.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, I mean, if not, they break their arm every single day. No. So, okay, I take that back. Huh. A little tough. A little tough. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's see what happens to these ghosts. Let's see. The laughter of children is also often heard when there are no children in sight. Photos have caught ghostly orbs and mists, of course. Some people have even reported seeing full-on ghost children playing on the playground at night. You can see through them. Mm-hmm. They are swinging on the swings. Mm-hmm. They are running up the, I don't know, steps of the stuff. It's right. It's so.
These are people that chose to visit a secluded graveyard at night, right?
The people that saw this. Yes, because as we'll say later,
kind of self-selecting population here.
Just saying. Real sexy freaks. All this action does tend to happen between 10 p.m. and 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a lot of kids going to make out, I assume. And also a lot of like bros who have Travel Channel shows. Mm-hmm.
EMP devices.
EVP. So let's see what else. Sometimes the voices of mothers are heard calling to their children.
Mm.
And every once in a while, someone will report seeing the ghostly figure of a man staring down at the playground from the cliffs above just before he evaporates into mist and disappears.
Oof.
So we don't like that.
No.
In 2007, the city of Huntsville decided to tear down the playground.
Oh, okay.
Which to me feels like a solid idea.
Yeah.
but people got so mad. They got very angry. There were protests. There were people showing up at city council meetings to say, how dare you?
Yeah.
And so the city rebuilt the playground, which is one you saw here. Mm-hmm. It's got all new equipment as of 2007. And I assume both living and dead children are so happy to have this cemetery playground on a murder site back. And I don't know, maybe we should invest more in education in Alabama. Yeah. is one potential takeaway. Mm-hmm.
It sounds like a movie that Pixar would make as they get a little bit edgier as the years go on, you know?
You think so?
I do. I really do. Like a mixture of Soul and Coco. Like, this could work. This could work.
Okay.
Yeah.
Coco is gorgeous. Mm-hmm. When they're walking across the bridge and like the marigolds.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely gorgeous. Now, you've named two Pixar movies that are my children's least favorites.
Really?
Yeah.
Do your children not like death as much as you do, I guess?
It is weird, right?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I thought maybe when they're five, we'll talk about that a little more. But you know what they do like? Encanto. Can we talk about Encanto? So the next 20 minutes will be us talking about Encanto and how good it is. It's so good. No, they're still in Frozen. They're still in the Frozen kick. It's Frozen dresses. It's Elsa everything. It's, you know, Ivy will put on her Tiana dress and she will say, "Shh, I froze you." And I say, that's canonically just so backward.
Like you, it's number one, I'm wiping your butt. So like, you want me to stop?
So please.
Yeah.
Please, I cannot freeze right now because it's so important to your hygiene that I don't freeze. Also, Tiana lives in the bayou. Mm-hmm. Elsa lives in Norway. Like, this is not, like, it's so frustrating because kids don't understand geography. What were we talking about?
Coco.
I love Coco.
It's good. It's good.
Love Coco. Some good music in that mm-hmm. show. And, some of the best. Yeah, I love it. I love it. Now, I do think it's weird the movie is called Coco. Mm-hmm. Because the character Coco is in like 2.5% of the movie.
Right, sure.
Now, she does play an important role eventually, but I would workshop it. No?
I'm happy with it.
No thoughts? Okay. All right. What I'm getting from here is Amy loves Coco, and when she listens to this, she does not want to hear you say anything bad about Coco.
She has turned this episode off a long time ago, by the way. She didn't get this far.
Yep. All right. Well, do you have any final thoughts that you want to share about the Dead Children's Playground?
No, you know, I think you kind of handled everything. I'm very impressed. Very tasteful.
Cool. Very tasteful. Yeah, good. Good. Yeah. I think so. Yeah, let's remind people of that later, namely Aaron. Mm-hmm. Let's remind her how tasteful this was, cuz I'll tell you this, could have been a lot less tasteful. Sure could have been. Well, then this has been another episode of Is This a Ghost? We are a Smith Show production. All the notes this week were taken by me, Clayton Smith. All the funny jokes were from Patrick Dean. Our audio editor is Jeremy Montoya. Our video editor is Jen Swanson. And they are conspiring against us to make a whole new thing for Ghost Plus. Our social media managers are Kai Valonis and Sam Murdoch. And I would say that if I am you, don't, I don't know, wear a fucking mask. You know what? Get a vaccine and wear a mask, because if you don't, you're going to be the subject of next week's episode of Is This a Ghost? And we will not feel bad about that one bit. Wear a mask, get a vaccine. Just what a, here we go. Here we go, everybody. Here we go.